Welcome to Sunday Morning Worship with Campbellsville Christian Church. Every week, we gather for worship at 10:30 a.m. on the corner of Broadway and Lebanon Avenue. We're so glad you're listening in. If you'd like to learn more about joining us in person, you can find details at cvillechristian.org. Thanks for being here.
If you're visiting with us today, we've been in an amazing series called Teach Us to Pray. And over the last several weeks, we've been unpacking the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer, because the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. And so far we've discovered in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, we've discovered that it teaches us to recognize and celebrate God for just being God. He's our Father, but He's also Creator. He's intimate, but He's also infinite in His holiness and for who He is. It teaches us how to have a kingdom perspective and how to surrender our lives to the will of God. It helps us to recognize who's really in control. And as we will see today, it teaches us how to get our relationships in order, our relationships with God and our relationship with each other. So this morning, as we go through this section, because this section, it's not the easiest one to kind of understand and to digest, but it's also hard for me as a pastor just to be able to put it in a way that hopefully is what the Bible teaches, but also helps you to begin to understand it a little bit more. And so just pray for me as we go through this. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you do. God, you are an incredible God, and I just love you. Now, God, may my words not be mine, but may they be yours. And may, God, you use this to bring us closer to you and your Son. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Verse 12 in Matthew chapter 6 goes on to say, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, for a lot of people, this part of the prayer is both good and bad, right? I mean, we like the part where God forgives us, but we don't necessarily like the part where we're supposed to forgive others. I mean, truth is, forgiveness is hard, but it's not impossible. And we can do it. Now, the word forgive means to dismiss, to release, to leave, or to abandon. When a judge dismisses the charges against a defendant, that person is then forgiven of any wrongdoing. We hear of a person that is released from an obligation, such as a loan or a debt. That person is then forgiven of that debt. It also carries the meaning to restore someone back to their original condition. So let's begin to unpack these words. And we'll start with that first phrase, and forgive us our debts. The Greek word for debt simply means to owe someone something. Now, when Jesus talks about forgiving our debts, he's not talking about paying off the mortgage on your house. He's not talking about paying off your truck or your car or your credit cards. The word debt here refers to the moral debt incurred because of our sins. It refers to our actions and our inactions, the things that we should have done but we didn't do, as well as the things we did that we shouldn't have done. You see, when we pray, forgive us our debts, it's a prayer of confession. It's an opportunity for us to tell God what He already knows about the sin in our life. And it gives God the opportunity to search our hearts so He can bring to our attention anything that's making our lives unavailable to Him. It's showing those dark places where sin may be hiding. In the Old Testament, I believe David understood this. I want you to listen to the words. We read these earlier, so they should be familiar already. Look what David wrote in Psalm 139, starting in verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Search me, O God. Let me ask you, have you prayed that lately? Not just read it, but have you prayed that? Have you prayed for God to search you and to search your heart? Have you prayed for God to test you, to know your thoughts, to see if there's those things in your life that need to change? And then have you prayed, God, lead me in the way of everlasting? You see, it's not just about reading words on a page. It's about praying those words so that they become a part of who you are. Now, let me remind you of a principle that I mentioned back in June when we looked at forgiveness. And it's this. When we confess our sin to God, we don't ask God to agree with our assessment of the sin. We simply agree with His. We're not asking God to agree with our assessment. We're just agreeing with His. God doesn't ask us to confess because He needs to know that we have sinned, but because He knows that we need to know that we have sinned. That's why we confess. I mean, God's not sitting up in heaven looking through Facebook going, hey, Peter, come here. You're not going to believe this. I didn't know this. Did you see what Caleb did? No, He doesn't do that. Why? Because God knows. He knows everything about us. He knows the sin in our life. We confess because we need to know it. We need to know the sin that's in our life. And here's the cool thing. When we honestly confess our sin, we can have the confidence that He will forgive our sin. But unfortunately, some of you still struggle with believing that He can and will forgive you. And because of that, you won't forgive yourself. Does anybody here struggle with that? Just struggling with the fact that you're not real sure if God's going to forgive what you just did or what you did last week or last month? You struggle with that, and then the guilt begins to come in, and then all of a sudden, you're not able to forgive yourself, even though God has forgiven you? I mean, if that's you, let me just remind you what the Word of God says about this. We read this verse earlier. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Jeremiah 31, 34, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. If you remember what we talked about back in June, the word remember here is not the fact that God has a bad memory. God can remember anything He wants. That word remember just means it's not held against us anymore. The reason is because it's no longer there. It's been wiped and cleansed and washed away. Colossians chapter 2, you were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all your sins. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to the cross. In 1 John 1, 9, but if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. 1 John 2:12, I am writing to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. Now let me ask you, do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe it? Do you believe the fact that when God says He forgives you, that you're forgiven? Do you believe that? Because if you believe it, then you need to start acting like you believe it. Never forget, if Jesus is your Savior, then His blood has cleansed you from all your sin. Guess what? Your debt is paid in full. Your sin debt is paid in full. So keep reminding yourself of the fact that of that fact and allow that truth to change who you are and allow that truth to free you to do this next part, which is the hard part. Because he goes on to say, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. As we move into this second part, all of a sudden the focal point changes. In the first part, we're asking God to forgive us, but now, because of the forgiveness we have been given through Christ, he's asking us to forgive others. And it becomes our responsibility to forgive. A few weeks ago, Charlie Kirk was murdered. At his funeral, Kirk's wife announced she had forgiven his killer. Why? Because like Charlie, his widow was a committed Christian. She knew the only way to honor the memory of her late husband, the only way to glorify God, the only way to avoid a heart filled with bitterness and hate was to allow the healing power of God's love to bring about forgiveness for others in her heart. Through her forgiveness of this individual, God was able to replace the injustice of what happened with the love of Jesus. Now, as you know, forgiveness, especially in a case like this, is not easy. And I am not saying that it's simple. And it comes with a price. But a price that has already been paid, not by us, but by God's own Son. The Bible says Jesus died once for all sin, a death that includes not only your sins, but it includes the sins of others that are against us. In Jesus, the bill is paid in full. He paid it. So the question is this: why should we demand an additional payment just because somebody hurt us? Why should we demand an additional payment because somebody hurt us? And so as we think about this part of the prayer, what makes it so difficult is that Jesus seems to be saying that the way we treat other people is the way God will treat us. I mean, that's what it says, right? Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Everett Fulham paraphrases this part of the prayer this way. He says, Father, forgive my sins only to the extent that I am willing to forgive those who have sinned against me. That's pretty true right there. So when we pray, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, we are asking God to forgive our sins according to the same standards we use in forgiving the sins of others. I mean, that's actually what we're praying. There are 11 words in the text, basically, but only one word that really stands out. It's the little word, as. Because everything hinges or hangs on that word, as. As is the conjunction that joins the first half of the petition with the second half. And when Jesus says as, he is setting up a comparison between the way we forgive and the way God forgives. So when you pray this prayer, what you are really saying is this: Father, deal with me in the same way that I have dealt with people. Deal with me in the same way that I have dealt with people. Now, let me tell you, that's scary, right? It's like we're saying, Father, I've got a friend that I loaned some money to, and he's never shown that he was grateful or tried to pay it back. And I'm angry at him, and I'm unwilling to forgive his ingratitude. Now, God, you deal with me as I have dealt with him. I mean, that's kind of what we're saying when we pray that prayer. C.S. Lewis put it this way: no part of his teaching is clearer, and there are no exceptions to it. He doesn't say that we are to forgive other people's sins, providing they are not too frightful, or providing there are no extenuating circumstances or any of that sort. We are to forgive them however spiteful, however mean, however often they are repeated, if we don't, we shall be forgiven none of our own sin. C.S. Lewis. Somebody else wrote, to refuse, I kind of like this, to refuse to forgive someone else and then to ask God for forgiveness is kind of spiritual schizophrenia. You are asking God to give you what you are unwilling to give somebody else. This part of the Lord's Prayer tells us that we can't have it both ways. You want to be forgiven? Then we must forgive. Now, the question that comes to my mind as I was doing this is this. Is God really serious about this? I mean, is he? Is God serious about this? Well, the answer to that is, yes, he is. He's serious about this. I mean, all you got to do is drop down two verses. Because he's finished the Lord's Prayer, but he's still teaching, still preaching. Look what he says. And starting in verse 14 of Matthew 6. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I mean, that's pretty cut and dry, right? It's pretty plain what the scripture is saying. Jesus is teaching us. So the question, another question then that jumps out at me is this. Is Jesus teaching us that our forgiveness with God is somehow tied to our forgiveness of other people? Let me do my best to try to explain this in the way I understand, okay? You see, when we finally come to the place in our lives where we are ready to give our lives to Jesus, to become part of our great King's family, we come with a mountain of debt between us and God. In fact, it's so high we can't get over it. It is so wide we can't get around it. It is so deep we can't crawl under it. But Jesus' death on the cross and the blood he shed washes our sin debt away. In one great moment of grace and forgiveness, that mountain of debt is gone. That's the forgiveness of sin that brings about eternal life in Jesus. It's the type of forgiveness that Peter preached about in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, when he said, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. In other words, may be forgiven. And once we have surrendered our life to Jesus, there's also the day in and day out forgiveness that God gives when we confess our daily sins to God. So we have the eternal life forgiveness that comes when we surrender our life, give our life to Jesus. We are covered by the blood of Jesus and we are forgiven. But then we have the day in and day out sins that we commit every day. This is the type of sin or the type of confession that John talked about in 1 John 1:9 when he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's those daily sins that we commit on a daily basis and we bring before God. This is the forgiveness I believe Jesus is referring to here in the Lord's Prayer. Not the salvation forgiveness, but it's that forgiveness that comes on a daily basis as we confess our sins to God. You see, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it establishes that personal relationship with Him. Then on this side, our daily confession is what helps maintain this intimate relationship that we have with the Father. But what we have to understand is that when we harbor an unforgiving spirit against someone, it will not only affect how we live out our daily lives, but it will also affect our fellowship with Jesus. Maybe this is why Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give the devil a foothold. Now, some of you are old enough that you'll remember when they used to have door-to-door salesmen, right? Usually vacuum cleaners or maybe encyclopedias. And they used to come around. And one of the things they taught them and they trained them to do was when they rang the doorbell, knocked on the door, when somebody would come to the door, they would move close enough where they could just get a foot to the door or inside the door. Why? Because they knew that was, they were one step closer to getting inside the house, one step closer to making a sale. That's that foothold. Paul says, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't allow the devil to get that foot inside your life where he can come in and have an impact. You see, a lack of forgiveness gives Satan an opportunity to have a foothold in our lives. And that unforgiving spirit has consequences. Satan will begin to speak lies into your life, such as, well, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Why should I forgive them? Or, if you only knew what they did to me, you wouldn't be asking me to forgive them. You see, when that foothold comes into our lives, hate replaces love, anger replaces our desire for restoration, and bitterness and resentment, holding grudges, and an unforgiving spirit begins to eat away at our hearts. And over time, the lies of Satan begin to become a reality in our life, and what they begin to do is they begin to affect that intimate fellowship that we have with Jesus. It affects that relationship that we have. And when these things happen, these attitudes will keep you awake at night. You ever experienced that? They will give you high blood pressure, migraines. They will suck every bit of joy out of your heart. And the intimate fellowship you once had with the Father will slowly begin to die and fade away. And why does this happen? I believe that it's because he who have been given much, we who have been forgiven much, continue to harbor an unforgiving spirit against others. And that unforgiving spirit has consequences. That's why Paul goes on to tell us in verse 32 of chapter 4, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. See, I don't think Jesus is dealing with the fact that if we don't forgive our debtors, that all of a sudden we've lost our salvation. I think he's dealing with the fact of our daily sins, those daily things that we bring to him that we confess. Because when we harbor that unforgiving spirit, it has so many consequences that affect us and affect our lives that get in the way of his forgiveness in those areas of our life. Now let me wrap up. I know I've went a little longer and I apologize. Let me wrap up with three simple principles of application. The first is this. Understand you are never closer to the grace of Jesus than when you confess your sins to him. You're never closer to the grace of Jesus than when you confess your sins to him. I believe that a sense of your sin in your life, that sense that we have, that's a sign of God's grace at work in our heart. And when you cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, you find that the Father will not turn you away. And he will give you his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. Second of all, you're never more like Jesus than when you forgive those who have sinned against you. You're never more like Jesus than when you forgive those who have sinned against you. You want to be like Jesus, then you become a great forgiver. Thirdly, you'll never fully enter into your freedom in Jesus until you learn the freedom of forgiveness. Because as long as you hold on to your anger and your resentment and your bitterness, you will continue to be chained to the past and you will remain imprisoned by your own unforgiveness of others. But when you begin to forgive others, that's when you'll be set free. You'll be set free to be the person God has created you to be. That's where freedom comes. It's been said that in forgiveness, you set a prisoner free, and that prisoner is you. That's who's set free. So here's what I want us to do as we close for an action step. This is my challenge to you. I want you to, sometime today, tomorrow, but no more than the middle of this week, sometime I want you to take your Bible, I want you to take a pencil or a pen, I want you to take a piece of paper, I want you to find a quiet, secluded place where you can be alone with Jesus. And then I want you to ask him to bring to your mind the people that you need to forgive. Ask him to bring to your mind the reasons you haven't forgiven them. And then I want you to write all that down on a piece of paper. Whatever comes to your mind, write it down on a piece of paper. Then ask God to give you his forgiving grace so that you can forgive them. And then at the top of the paper, I want you to write the word in bold letters, forgiven. Forgiven. Then I want you to dispose of that list by either burning it, burying it, flushing it, I don't care, ripping it. But just get rid of it. Why? Because now you have forgiven. And then the next step, I think you need to go to that person and just simply say, God's been working on my heart and I've been harboring this against you and I want to ask for your forgiveness. Because I believe that's how you will be set free to be the person God has called you to be. That's how you can honestly pray, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Pray with me. Father, thank you for this day and for all you do. God, thank you for what you're doing in our life and in the life of this church. But God, I pray that you work on our hearts right now because there may be those in our lives that we're just holding grudges against. We have resentment against. We have bitterness against. We have anger against. People we just don't like because sometime they hurt us, we think. God, help us to get rid of that unforgiving spirit. Help us to be able to forgive like you have forgiven us. Thank you, Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. To hear the rest of this message, visit our website at sevillechristian.org or wherever you get your podcasts.